Hello and welcome to, episode 23 of Just Another Priest Podcast. I'm Father Kyle Schnippel. I've been, at least on the podcast side of things, just these episodes, I've been really remiss, I should say. I've been involved in a bunch of other things, and but today it's Monday, June 11th, and had a couple things going on. I didn't preach over the weekend, but there was something about the readings that I really wanted to focus on. And tonight, I'm leading a Bible study for our parish on the Holy Spirit. It's closing off the episodes that are from Formed on the Holy Spirit. And so wanted to look at those two things together, and just was feeling an urge to put something out just in case. Well, I don't know, in case you miss me, but no, that's certainly not the case. And I certainly also want to apologize for my voice. Got a little bit of a head cold going on. Hope it works out okay. But regardless, we'll record some things, some thoughts on the Holy Spirit, in particular the sin of the Holy Spirit. I think that's such a big question that we face. So what does that look like? What do we talk about? What do we mean when we think about that sin of the Holy Spirit? So with that, let's get started. God bless. In the gospel passage for the 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time in year B, Jesus mentions that all sins will be forgiven except those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And wow, so what is that blaspheme, the sin against the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? I think it's one of those obscure passages in the New Testament, the Gospels in particular, where it leaves one scratching his or her head. And even what surrounds that passage doesn't really give us much help as far as understanding what Jesus means by this sin of the Holy Spirit. Before that, it's Satan divided against himself. How can he stand? A strong man can defend his house, so you have to tie him up before you plunder his house. And then all blasphemes and sins will be forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That'll never be forgiven. And it's like, It's like somewhere in there, there was this hard left turn that was somewhat unexpected. So how do we make sense of this? And I think one of the things we have to do is we have to look at what other clues are around us and how the church presents this passage for our reflection, for our understanding. So I want to take a step back and just that reminder of how readings are put together, how the cycle of readings are put together. In ordinary time, there are three cycles of readings, A, B, C, Matthew, Mark, Luke, correspondingly. And so last year was mostly Matthew. Next year will be mostly Luke in the gospel passages, especially in ordinary time. Also a little bit in Lent and Easter, Christmas, Advent and Christmas. This year we're going through Mark. And so over the next few weeks, we'll have these successive passages. Pretty much the rest of the year, we'll have these successive passages from Mark's account of the gospel. Because Mark is so much shorter than the other two gospels, synoptic gospels, John 6 gets inserted for a couple weeks later in the year as well. What's important to remember, though, the Old Testament reading is chosen in light of the gospel passage. And so the church, when she was putting together this cycle of readings in 1970, when it was first published, the church went back and said, that scholars of the church, theologians, this reading helps us understand this gospel passage. This reading from the Old Testament helps give light to our understanding of what's happening in this gospel passage. As a side note, the second reading, especially during ordinary time, is also on a cyclical basis. So we heard from 2 Corinthians over the weekend. We'll continue to hear from 2 Corinthians over the next couple weeks as well. Okay. So looking at the Old Testament in light of the New, the term that we use for that is typology. And so with the readings presented, it was Genesis 3, the curse of Adam, the curse of Eve, the curse of the serpent. How does that inform and our understanding of this passage from Mark? So obviously there's a lot of connections, because you have the devil, the serpent, portraying the role of the devil in the gospel passage, and all these other things that you could say about each passage individually, but also the passages together. But what I wanted to look at, though, was this question in particular in light of that question about what is the sin of the Holy Spirit. What do you think would have happened if Adam would have owned up to his sin when God comes to him? God's walking through the garden. Obviously, he knows. And he looks and he calls out, "Adam, where are you?" "And I heard you were in the garden. I hid myself, for I was naked." "You've eaten from the tree that I forbid you." What would have happened then if he would have come up and said, "I know, and I'm so sorry, and it was a moment of weakness, and please forgive me, Lord"? What do you think would have happened? How would God have, how would the whole story of salvation be changed? But instead, Adam looks and says, "Well, I didn't do it. That woman you put here with me. It's really your fault, God, because you put that woman with me and she tricked me." And then he goes to the woman, "Well, it's not my fault. The serpent tricked me. And look, it's really beautiful fruit. And it seemed so good. So we ate it." And what just strikes me how quick the hardness of heart falls in. Adam falls to that hardness of heart. How quick it is that his heart is closed off to God's presence. How quick it is that Eve is like, they're both shunning away, not taking responsibility, but trying to pass the buck to someone else for their faults and for their weaknesses. And I wonder, just, it keeps coming back, this game. How would it be different if Adam said, "I'm sorry"? But instead, he plays this game of pass the potato. "She told me to do it. He looked, the serpent tricked me," etc., etc. And so now we come back to that, looking the unforgivable sin of the Holy Spirit. It really is, in a sense, this pride that is exhibited early on here in Genesis. The pride that we're too great, you know, this pride of we deserved this, or this pride, this inability to come back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And when you look, turn and look back at that passage from Mark's account of the gospel, pride certainly plays a place. Jesus is coming back to his hometown. His family think he's crazy. The scribes thinks he's using the power of the devil to cast out the devil. All these other things that are happening. And the catechism picks up on this. Paragraph 1864 in the catechism. "There are no limits to the mercy of God. But anyone who deliberately refuses to accept his mercy by repenting rejects the forgiveness of his sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit. Such hardness of heart can lead to final impenitence and eternal loss." And there we end the quote. Deliberately refusing to accept the mercy of God by repenting. And there, I think, this forgiveness of the Holy Spirit, of the sin against the Holy Spirit, there we have that, what Adam and Eve did, what continues to play out through the scriptures up to the point where Jesus comes. And now, certainly it causes me to ask a question. What are those sins that I've held on to in my life because I think they're too great for God to forgive? What are the sins that I confess over and over again, but I really haven't worked on to root them out? What are those sins or those addictions that are in my life that I don't really want to give up for the sake of my passage, my discipleship with Jesus? Those are the sins of the Holy Spirit. Those are the sins against the Holy Spirit that we, as disciples of the Lord, need to continue to root out. God has this deep and profound and abiding love for each one of you. And he desires for all of us, at the end of that passage, he desires for all of us to not only hear the word of God, but to act upon it, to do it, to know what we know what we should do. We're weak from being able to do what we need to do. Asking the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to help us make that presence known, put it into practice what we can do, put into practice what we know that we ought to do, so that we too can be a living example of the Holy Spirit in the world. God bless.